Good morning. You're listening to the regional news. I'm Jake Ryan. It's 8 o'clock. The final votes in Delta County were tallied Wednesday night. There were several ballots in the recent municipal election that had some sort of discrepancy. The signatures didn't look quite right, for example. Normally, a handful of ballots won't change anything, but one race in particular was very close. In Paonia, 9 people were running for 3 seats on the Board of Trustees. The top 2 candidates won by a comfortable margin, but the 3rd seat, though, was down to the wire. After the election, it looked like Bill Brunner won by 3 votes, beating fellow candidate Chelsea Bookout. There were 7 disputed ballots, though, and since Election Day, the Delta County Clerk's Office has been waiting to confirm them. 3 ballots were cleared. None of those ballots had votes for Brunner, and 1 person voted for Bookout. Brunner secured the 3rd seat on the board with 177 votes to 175. The 2-vote margin isn't close enough to trigger an automatic recount, and in fact, the recount math makes it so that even a 1-vote difference wouldn't have triggered the process. A candidate can ask for a recount for several hundred dollars. Bookout has confirmed that she will not be requesting that. There's also a pseudo 4th slot open on Paonia's board. When current trustee Charles Stewart is sworn in as the new mayor, the new council will appoint someone else to fill his vacancy. The board can take input from the community, but ultimately it is at their discretion. That will happen at the next board meeting on April 26th. A storm moving in from the Pacific could bring heavy rain and snow to western Colorado through the weekend. Joe Ramey is a forecaster with the National Weather Service in Grand Junction.
It looks like snow will develop over the higher terrain and continue Friday, Saturday, even into Sunday. The rain snow line will be something around 7,000 feet, with significant rain expected in the valleys. And mixed in with all of that will be strong gusty winds.
He says that ranges on the western slope could receive a foot or more of snow, and the San Juans might get double that. Colorado Democrats will gather in Loveland on Saturday to elect their final group of delegates to the National Convention in Philadelphia this summer. Ben DeBerkelin talked to Colorado Chairman Rick Palacio about the process and the divisions within the party.
Colorado Democrats will have 78 delegates going to the National Convention. Explain the selection process.
It started at the caucus level to elect delegates to the 64 county conventions. There's a presidential preference poll at each county. We elect delegates to the congressional district conventions and then on to the state convention, which is this weekend. So this weekend we'll be electing 14 at-large delegates for Senator Sanders and Secretary Clinton, depending upon the presidential preference poll that will be taken as you walk into the convention on Saturday morning.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders won by a pretty wide margin in the Democratic caucus on March 1st. How will that translate to the number of delegates he picks up at the state convention?
Colorado, like every other Democratic electing state, is a proportional delegate allotment system. So Senator Sanders won with about 60%, and I think that it'll roughly be in that 55 to 60% in the range of delegates that he has allotted once we're through this process on Saturday.
And these delegates will be bound to a particular candidate?
We don't have a formal binding process. What we call them are pledged. So they're pledged delegates. So at any point along the way, a delegate theoretically could change their position and go to a different candidate.
Democrats have 12 superdelegates, and that's more than Republicans have on their side. Most are backing Secretary Hillary Clinton. How are they selected, and do you think it's a good thing?
The reason that superdelegates, or what they call them, are unpledged delegates, exist, it goes back 30 or 40 years within the Democratic Party, basically to make sure that elected officials that are well-known within the community don't have a leg up on the competition to become delegates or to be elected delegates. Many have pledged early support to Secretary Clinton long before this contest even began. I think that they're all going to vote for whomever our nominee is.
The Denver Post first reported that projections from Colorado's caucus misreported the number of delegates coming out of there. Did that change the narrative at all coming into this state assembly?
The reporting error was only a reporting error for caucus night. It was not used in any official tabulation of allocation of delegates. So the allocation of delegates has been correct all along the way. And what we saw out of caucus night was roughly a 60-40 split. And at every contest along the way, we see again that 60-40 split in favor of Senator Sanders. And I predict that's going to be the same case at the state convention on Saturday as well.
With the superdelegates coming into play, do you think it's possible Bernie and Hillary will tie in the number of delegates coming out of Colorado?
Some of our unpledged delegates are still neutral. I haven't done the math to figure out one way or another who is going to be the winner. I think there is a scenario where Bernie and Hillary come out equal. I think there's also a scenario where Bernie comes out with more delegates at the end of the day as well.
What do you say to Bernie supporters who feel like, hey, it should be more set in stone when someone's doing well in the caucus? The delegate allocation maybe just doesn't seem fair.
Well, I would remind people and say again, there's never been an instance where superdelegates have changed the direction of a campaign or the nomination process. And that's not going to happen again in 2016. So 2016, what you'll see, not just in Colorado, but around the country, is Democrats are going to come together, and that's not just the pledged delegates, but the unpledged delegates as well, to support our nominee and make sure that we're united as we go into this November's election.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That's Rick Palacio, Colorado chairman of the Democratic Party. I'm Benta Berkland in Denver.
Wind turbine technicians, the job of maintaining wind turbines, is the fastest growing profession in the country right now. Inside Energy's reporter Dan Boyce puts that in context.
Ask student John Crothers why he wants to be a wind turbine technician.
I'm looking forward to climbing up 300 feet and working on something that's critical.
He's enrolled at the Ecotech Institute, a technical college in Aurora, Colorado, learning on scale models of the turbine engines he'll be fixing. Going into the renewable energy business makes him feel he's helping the environment. On top of that, he likes the idea of job security.
I've been hearing that this is a growing industry.
He's right. The Bureau of Labor Statistics predicts the number of wind turbine tech jobs is going to double in the next 8 years or so. Sounds huge, but the real numbers behind that are pretty modest. 4,400 turbine tech jobs, jumping to a little more than 9,000 jobs nationwide. Meanwhile, tens of thousands of coal, oil, and natural gas workers have been laid off in the last year. But that's one reason why Tom Darren with the American Wind Energy Association points to the growth of turbine technicians as one small and exciting piece of a trend seen through his industry.
We have 88,000 jobs right now, and that's our record number of jobs in the wind industry.
The American Wind Energy Association says that's 20% more total wind jobs than a year ago. And Darren says last year more wind power was added in the U.S. than any other electricity source.
We beat natural gas, we beat solar, we were top.
With that, wind still only generates about 5% of the country's electricity. But student John Crothers sees a healthy career in front of him, as long as he's working with his hands on a turbine.
That's what I want to do, yeah.
For Inside Energy, I'm Dan Boyce.
Inside Energy is a public media collaboration focused on America's energy issues. That was the regional news from KVNF. Stay tuned for the Feel Good Friday morning music mix coming up next. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.